Good morning, ladies. Good. Let's come before the Lord. And Lord, we thank you for your presence in this place this morning, Lord, and for the study on Abigail. Lord, we pray that you bless this morning all the women, Lord, and their families, and all glory and honor to you through worship. In Jesus' name, amen.
Oh, I can see. your burden, lay down your pride, rest in the mercy that Jesus provides. Come all ye weary, broken inside, lay down your burdens, lay down your life. Come and lift your voice at the throne of grace. We come alive, let the lost rejoice. Jesus Christ, his arms are open wide. Lay down your burdens, lay down your burdens, lay down your pride, rest in the mercy that Jesus provides. Come all ye weary, broken inside, lay down your burdens, lay down your life. Come and lay your voice at the throne of grace. We come alive, let the lost rejoice. Jesus Christ, his arms are open wide. Let these mountains shake from the sound of voices multiply, as our souls awake. Jesus Christ, his arms are open wide. In this moment, in your presence, overwhelmed by love, we come alive. We cry, Holy, King of glory, Jesus Christ, your name be lifted high. In this moment, in your presence, overwhelmed by love, we come alive. We cry, Holy, glory, Jesus Christ, your name be lifted high. In this moment, in your presence, overwhelmed by love, we come alive. We cry, Holy, King of glory, Jesus Christ, your name. Your voice at the throne of grace, we come alive. Let the lost rejoice. Jesus Christ, his arms are open wide. Let these mountains shake from the sound of voices multiply as our souls awake. Jesus Christ, his arms are open wide.
You go before I know that you've even gone to win my war. You come back with the head of my enemies. You come back and you call it my victory. You go before I know that you've even gone to win my war. Your love becomes my greatest defense and leads me from the dry wilderness. And all I did was praise, and all I did was worship, and all I did was bow down, and all I did was sit still. Your mercy is the shade I'm living in, and you restore my faith in hope again. And all I did was praise, and all I did was worship. All I did was stay still. Oh, and hallelujah, you have saved me so much better this way. And you picked up all my pieces, you put me back together, but you are the defender of my heart. And when I thought I lost me, you knew where I left me. You introduced me to your heart, and you picked you put me back together.
Lord, we thank you for your goodness in our lives, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you're so alive in our lives, Lord, and that you care. Pray that you would bless us steady. In Jesus' name, amen.
Enough of that. Good morning, ladies. My name is Abigail. My claim to fame is I am the first female firefighter in the Bible. Yes, siree, I am. I was married to Nabal, and I know we're not supposed to speak ill of the dead, but seriously, I can't think of a good thing to say about him. I know. My mother told me if you can't say something nice, don't say anything at all. But this is my story, and I'll ask forgiveness later. Those fires I constantly put out were started by my husband, who kindled them with his caustic personality. He liked to drink to excess. In those days, we called people like him drunkards, and Nabal was a mean drunk. He owned large herds and much land, causing him to hold a superior attitude over others. He taxed my patience daily, and as I followed behind him, trying to smooth over all the feathers he ruffled, I will say the Lord honed my negotiating skills, and many times gave me his wisdom in dealing with the problems that Nabal left in his wake. My firefighting skills were put to the test, the greatest test, when Nabal lit up David and his men. They had protected his shepherds and asked if they could be given provisions as they celebrated at the sheep shearing festival. True to character, Nabal refused to help them and even threw a match on the tinder by saying that he would not waste good food on some nobody. Well, I knew who David was, having heard all the stories of his conquests. Nabal had insulted Israel's future king. He had managed to fuel a fire in David's heart that would not quickly be quenched until he wreaked havoc on Nabal. I knew I had to act quickly. I ran to the pantry and had 200 loaves of bread made, 2 jugs of wine, 5 sheep ready for roasting, 5 measurements of roasted grain, 100 clusters of raisins, and 200 cakes of figs loaded on donkeys. We didn't have Costco back then, so count your blessings, ladies. I sent my servants ahead of me. I figured if David and his boys saw the caravan coming his way, that by the time I arrived, his heart might be a bit softer. When I saw him, I immediately dismounted, fell on my face at his feet to show my respect, hoping not to mess up my makeup, of course, and began profusely accepting the blame for my worthless husband, Nabal, whose name means fool, by the way. No one's surprised there. God surely gave me the words that flowed out of my mouth as I witnessed David's anger subside. God's holy water of reconciliation had put out the fire of revenge. We parted ways that day with David blessing me for my discretion and discernment. Isn't that sweet? My story has a surprise ending that far exceeded any expectations I had for my future. I'll let Chris tell you all about it. Little did I know just how great God would reward me. Take it away, Chris.
She is good. That was really cute. Thank you, Emily. Wow, the metaphors in your monologue really lit up the room. Somebody get a fire extinguisher. Sorry, bad humor. Emily painted quite a picture of Abigail to start our study here. But before we start that, who here is wearing our shirts? Nina? Who else? Oh, look at the girls over here. Oh my gosh. Okay, see those shirts? They are for sale. They're kind of a sweatshirt, but a light sweatshirt. And they're so comfy, aren't they? Yeah. So they're for sale. Christina's got them in the lobby. So after the study, if you'd like one. Oh, Dee's wearing hers too. Oh my gosh, how cute. Okay, well, let's open with prayer and see how we can learn some lessons from looking deeper into Abigail's story and character. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this study. Wow, Abigail is quite a gal. And so we want to study her and see what we can emulate, see what we shouldn't. And Lord Jesus, we just thank you. We ask for a blessing on every lady here. Thank you for bringing new gals, Lord Jesus. We're so excited that you just, we teach the word and they just keep coming. And thank you, Jesus, for that. May our hearts of and eyes of understanding just be open, Lord, to what it is you want us to hear from you today. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. Okay, let's begin by reading 1 Samuel 25, verses 2 and 3. Now there was a man in Maon whose business and possessions were in Carmel, and the man was very rich. He had 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats, and he was shearing his sheep in Carmel. Now the man's name was Nabal, and his wife's name was Abigail. She was intelligent and beautiful in appearance, but the man was harsh and evil in his dealings. He was a Calebite. Okay, she's smart and beautiful, and he's harsh, evil, and rich. He was from the tribe of Caleb, which means dog. It's another derogatory term here describing Nabal. Sounds like the beginnings here of a TV reality show or a soap opera, as us older gals might remember them being called. The scene turns to Nabal having a big celebration, as was the custom of the time when the sheep were being sheared. A man of Nabal's wealth would hold a banquet with plenty of food and drink and invite all his friends and neighbors, in this case, to boast of his wealth and prosperity. Abigail would have been the perfect hostess, providing abundantly for her guests and displaying gracious hospitality. At some point, when Abigail was unaware, 10 of David's men arrived to politely and justly ask for a little food. Their provisions were running low, and they naturally thought that since they befriended and protected Nabal's men in the field, he would be more than happy to accommodate them. But no, their request was met with Nabal's nasty attitude and contemptible response. They left empty-handed, but would return with a vengeance. This was all relayed to Abigail, who immediately sprung into action. She knew she had to act quickly to defuse David's revenge campaign. They wanted food, she thought, as she looked around her kitchen. So food they'll get, and plenty of it. Now, how many have heard the old saying, the way to a man's heart is through his stomach? That just might apply here. Her servants got busy baking more bread, dressing more sheep, filling bota bags with wine, baking more date and raisin cakes, and packing up the donkeys. She left quietly so as not to alert her drunken husband. He would not understand that the safety of their entire household was at stake. She was on a mission. She had to extinguish the raging fire her husband had kindled. Abigail sent the donkeys loaded with food ahead of her. She rode behind the caravan that was designed to appease David and his men. She used the hills to hide her presence until the last minute. As she approached David, she dismounted, quickly ran to him, and knelt before him, bowing to the ground, which showed total humility and respect. Abigail looked up at David and said, "My husband's a jerk. Do what you want, he's all yours." Nay, she did not say that. She actually took the blame for his actions and begged David to hear her out. She went on to explain that her husband lives up to his name, which means fool. She had been unaware of David's men coming to request food, but now, as I'm sure they were chowing down as she spoke, There's no need to seek revenge and shed blood unnecessarily. She went on to ask forgiveness and assure David he would be king over a secure and enduring house because there is no evil in him and God was on his side. By averting this incident, David would have a clear conscience and allow God to make right any wrong done to him. And she ends her plea with words similar to those of the thief on the cross. When the Lord deals well with my Lord, then remember your favor with your maidservant. Remember me, Lord, when you come into your kingdom. That's kind of what she was saying. Wow, David must have melted right then and there. He realized the Lord had sent her, so he blessed her for her discretion and her discernment, told her she came just in the nick of time, granted her request, and sent her back to her house in peace. Wow, she doused that fire before it became out of control. Let's look a little closer at Abigail and her character. I think we can all agree that Abigail must have had a close relationship with the God of Israel. Along with her physical beauty, she had an inner beauty that reflected the influence of the Holy Spirit. Her manner was gracious. Her words would have been kind and affirming, whether she spoke to a guest or a friend or a servant. Her mind was sharp. In a crisis, she broke into action to minimize damage using wisdom and discernment. Her temperament was even keeled with patience and forbearance. Abigail accepted her lot in life. Her marriage was most likely arranged by her parents. Nabal was wealthy and successful in business. I'm sure it seemed like a good match at the time. But we really don't know our mates until we live with them, right, ladies? Nancy spoke of having to adjust to one another, and I did hear a lot of amens last week. Or maybe that was just me. Anyway, Abigail relied on God's providence. She knew her life was in God's hands. Even though her husband was a very difficult man to live with, I'll bet she prayed for him and tried her best to be the wife that he needed. She most likely turned him over to God on a daily basis, asking for strength and endurance to make it through each day. God rewarded her diligence, as this story has quite the twist in the end. Let's read 1 Samuel 25, verses 37 and 38. But in the morning when Nabal was sober and his wife told him these things, his heart died within him, and he became paralyzed and helpless like a stone. About 10 days later, the Lord struck Nabal, and he died. Whoa, wasn't that an interesting turn of events? Do you think God had anything to do with that? I know some of you may be in marriages that are, shall we say, less than ideal. But seriously, does anyone have a perfect husband? Don't raise your hand, Tammy. Are you a perfect wife? What I'd like to propose is that as a wife, you must learn the power of prayer. Listen up, gals. Time to take notes. God designed marriage not to make you happy, but to make you holy. Write that one down. God designed marriage not to make you happy, but to make you holy. Alan Redpath, well-known British evangelist, pastor, and author, says this to those who may be in difficult marriages. May I say to you lovingly but firmly, if such a circumstance has befallen you, that is no reason for you to invoke the law of the country to get out of the entanglement. That means no divorce. Perhaps God knew that you needed the fiery trial to humble yourself and make you a testimony to your partner. The Bible says you must stay as you are. Maybe there will come to you one day, as there came to Abigail, a new opportunity. But until then, it is for you to prove the grace and power of the Lord in your heart to strengthen you and keep you pure. Wow, if there is ever a time in your life when you need Jesus, it's as a wife. Obviously, Abigail had a close relationship with her God. She was able to be a gracious wife to her mean-spirited husband. When a crisis erupted, she was able to use the wisdom God gave her to make critical decisions to spare her household. Her actions and words speak loud and clear that she saw God's hand in her encounter with David and how God was orchestrating his life. 7 times she mentions the Lord in her attempt to assuage his anger. She was not going to leave her circumstances of threatened destruction of her household up to chance. She invited God to the party, and his presence was quite evident. So how do we apply this to our lives? Married or single, we need to call on the Lord each morning. If you're married, pray for your husband's well-being. If you want to be married, pray for your future husband's well-being. If you don't want to be married, pray for your spiritual leaders, those who are in authority over you. As a wife, I have a book of prayers I've been using for years, The Power of a Praying Wife by Stormy R. Martin. I strongly recommend this. Praying every day for your husband may not change him, but I guarantee your heart and attitude will be changed. You married him. Now pray that God will help you to be the wife that he needs. Remember, you married a sinner, but so did he. As Pastor James reminded us this past Sunday, we need to die to self daily. I'm not sure if diplomacy is a virtue per se, but it would be wise to use it when dealing with a difficult husband or in any difficult circumstance. Abigail had it mastered, and it wasn't her degree in psychology or any book she read that gave her the wisdom in how to deal with him. She called upon God to give her what she needed to be the wife that Nabal needed. It wasn't easy. Hers was not a storybook marriage. We all think at the time that we're marrying our Prince Charming, but reality sets in quickly as day-to-day struggles pop up. How those little fires are put out helps them to not turn into blazing infernos. Beginning each day in God's word and with prayer makes all the difference. Should you find yourself in a marriage situation similar to Abigail's, take every opportunity to draw on God's Holy Spirit to give you wisdom, perseverance, and strength. Living with a man who drank in excess and was mean-spirited meant Abigail had to learn good timing. We talked about this in the leaders' meeting. She didn't approach him when he was most unreasonable, but was patient and knew when not to discuss matters that might trigger an argument. Like Abigail, God will give you the wisdom and discernment to use the right words, know when to keep silent, when to speak up, and when to walk away. Abigail gave God the glory. He was the source of her faith, and she saw God as her sovereign Lord in not just her own life, but readily attributed his grace to David. We too should learn to give credit where credit is due. God deserves our thanks and worship, not just on a daily basis or weekly at church services, but moment by moment. Look for his hand in your life. Meve says the fingers of God are in every circumstance. Is God testing my faith? How does he want me to deal with this situation? What can I do or say that will bring God the glory? You can and should diffuse any volatile situation by being wise, and that happens by seeking him daily. There are going to be times when we blow it. We are not yet perfect, and Abigail was no exception. There are a few instances I'd like to mention where she was just a bit shy of virtuous. Number one, she acted without her husband's counsel. Now, admittedly, he was intoxicated at the time, and she had to act quickly upon the information she was just given. It was an urgent matter that most likely couldn't wait till he sobered up. But I would still counsel you to always seek your husband's advice when making decisions. He is the head of your household and deserves your respect in seeking his approval or disapproval. First, pray to make sure you approach him on the subject wisely with perfect timing. Number two, Abigail openly and severely criticized her husband. It's a no-no. She said, "Fool is his name and folly is his game." Not quite in those words, but this is a biggie. The only one that we should be totally honest with regarding our husband's faults is Jesus. Pour your heart out to him. Just make sure your husband isn't listening. Just be careful, because as we voice our complaints, we need to take inventory of our own shortcomings. In counseling married women, I have learned that there are always two sides to every story. Take responsibility for your part in this debacle. Never complain or criticize your hubby to anyone, especially your mother. Think about his good qualities and why you married him in the first place, and thank God for putting him in your life. Remember, encourage him and let him know you see all the good he does for you and the family. Be his greatest cheerleader. Okay, number three, Abigail treated David better than her husband. Now, this never turns out good. You become a hypocrite and end up comparing your husband to other men. Even if you say nothing to him, you will begin to harbor ill feelings toward your husband. If you do voice your comparisons to him, you belittle him. Why can't you be more like Gary Lawton? Don't ever say that. First of all, you're not perfect either. Secondly, you don't live with Gary Lawton. Sorry, Maeve. She's over there nodding. Your husband is God's gift to you. No returns. No exchanges. Thank God for him and strive to be the perfect wife for him. We should treat all men with respect, but first and foremost, our husbands. We should be daily interceding for our husbands before God's throne of grace. We are in a covenant relationship with our husbands. He needs to be your one and only. Look at it this way. He may not be perfect, but he is the perfect husband for you. God allowed you to marry him, so seek the Lord for help and guidance. Let grace and forgiveness be part of your daily regimen. Nagging doesn't work. Praying does. You work on your relationship with the Lord and allow the Holy Spirit to convict and work on him, right? Learn to encourage your husband and do this every chance you get. We don't read where Abigail encouraged her husband, but she sure said a beautiful, encouraging statement to David in verse 29. She said, "May the life of my Lord be bound in the precious bundle of the living with the Lord your God." Isn't that beautiful? May the life of our husbands be bound in the precious bundle of the living with the Lord our God. What a beautiful word picture, to be tied up and bundled and held closely and securely to the Lord. It gives me warm fuzzies. Abigail helped David to know he was the object of God's love and care. Well, Abigail left quite an impression on David. I'll bet he went back to his camp and had a difficult time not thinking about her and her kind words and wise actions, and I'm sure it helped that she was beautiful. When he heard of her husband's sudden death, he saw one heck of an opportunity. Let's read verses 39 through 42. When David heard that Nabal was sick, he said, "Blessed be the Lord." Excuse me, when he heard that he was dead, "Blessed be the Lord who had pleaded the cause of my reproach, suffered at the hand of Nabal, and has kept his servant from retaliating with evil. For the Lord has returned the wickedness of Nabal on his own head." Then David sent word to Abigail, proposing to take her as his wife. Verse 40, when the servants of David came to Abigail at Carmel, they said to her, "David sent us to you to take you to him to be his wife." Verse 41, and she stood and bowed with her face to the ground and said, "Behold, your maidservant is ready to be a maid to wash the feet of the servants of my Lord." Wow, that's humility. Verse 42, then Abigail quickly got up and rode on a donkey with five of her maidens who attended her, and she followed the messengers of David and became his wife. Well, maybe that was a storybook ending after all. And guess what? Do your best to survive your marriage here on earth, because we have an even better ending than Abigail's. She married the soon-to-be king of Israel. We get to marry the King of Kings. Okay, let's see what we can glean from Abigail's story. Number one, wisdom and discernment. Ask for God's wisdom and discernment in times of crisis. Judgment and discretion. Pray you make the right judgment decisions and use discretion. Urgency. Sense the urgency of the situation and act in a timely manner. And advice. Seek your husband's advice before taking action. Kind and affirming. Always speak words that are kind and affirming. Patience. Learn how to be patient and wait for the right time to act and speak. Sovereign and trust. God is sovereign and in control. Trust in his divine providence. Your husband and your marriage. Turn your husband and marriage over to God on a daily basis. Do I have to say it? Die to self. Pray for his well-being. Strength and endurance. Ask for strength and endurance to make it through each day. Wife, be his wife, his intercessor. Become the wife and intercessor that he needs. God's word and prayer. Learn the power of prayer by starting each day with Jesus in his word and prayer. Thankful, be thankful, especially for your hubby. Worship God throughout each day as you see his hand in all circumstances. No complaining, no criticizing. Cease complaining about and criticizing your hubby. Comparisons? Don't compare your husband to other men. Respect. Have a sincere respect for your husband, who he is and what he does for you and your family. Grace and forgiveness. Make grace and forgiveness part of your daily regimen. Grudges, bringing up past mistakes. Don't hold grudges. Don't bring up past mistakes. Humility and a teachable heart. Be humble and have a teachable heart. Encouragement. Encourage your husband as much as possible. Be his biggest cheerleader. I know there are many marriages represented in this room that have been saved and restored by wives who chose to apply these principles. Mine is one. I almost gave up about 30 years ago, but I decided to do it God's way. I had two previous marriages that failed because I was very self-centered. Once the Holy Spirit convicted me, and I listened to him this time, I was determined to make this one work. I cannot emphasize enough, die to self. Bring your hubby before the Lord each day and let the Lord change him. You'll find the Holy Spirit has bigger and better plans for him than you could ever imagine. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for our husbands. We thank you for Abigail showing us how to be gracious and discerning and wise when it came to dealing with David. I'm sure she bit her tongue a lot of times with her husband. But Lord, you took care of the situation. She did not have to. She just did and followed you, Lord Jesus. And I pray, Lord, that you would help us. Help us to be the best wives that we can be to our husbands. We need your Holy Spirit to give us that wisdom and discernment, that strength and endurance to be what you want us to be and what they need, who they need. So, Lord Jesus, thank you for this study. Thank you, Lord, for our table time as we discuss these situations and just glean from all the principles that you have in this chapter. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, for Abigail, putting her in your word and giving us her as an example. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.